Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Oh, yeah, it's a great day in Washington today as Trump's nominees take the stand and some war hawks get removed from committees, like Congressman Michael Turner of Ohio. Gone. This guy was a Ukraine hawk. Good riddance. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210. It is our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I appreciate it very, very much. Before I get into things, though, in this hour, we're going to talk to Brittany Patterson, the mom who was arrested because her son was walking on the street. And I'll talk to the attorney as well, Parents USA. But I have to read this tweet. Steve Delaney, don't despair, man. You're going to beat this. My staph infection. If anybody can fight staph, it's the guy who is constantly fighting with his staph. Steve Delaney, well done. Excellent work. See that? You got a girly giggle out of DeSantis. Well done, Steve.
That is a great, great post.
You see that? Look at that. You happy about that? Are you happy about that?
Are you asking me? I'm not happy that I get yelled at constantly. Don't get to go to the Easter egg roll.
No, you definitely don't. Let me see if I can find the... Oh, yeah, here it is. Let's see here. I got some nice notes. Let's see. I'm trying to find the one where somebody sent me a note saying to be nice to you. A lot of people send me nice notes about my foot. I appreciate that very, very much. Let's see if I can find. Oh, I want to thank Craig. Craig, by the way, sent a note saying that they were talking about the Kate May show and Jimmy Fallon show on Christmas Eve with his family, and they want to know if we're doing shows this year at the Grand Hotel of Kate May. Craig, we don't have any dates yet, but we are going to be doing shows in 2025, which makes me very, very happy. I think we'll have a lot of fun there. That's always a great time. And there you go. So we'll do that. Yeah, there was somebody who sent me a note. Maybe I deleted it. That might be possible. You know what I mean? Like deleting the note that said to be nice to you. It probably was something that... Yeah, I'll try to find it.
Something nice about Matt DeSantis. Let's get rid of that as quick as we can.
Yeah, I probably just went psh, like that and just, you know, swiped right or whatever it is and just deleted it. You want to play? I know you're excited to play this cut from Justice Alito, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. This is the highlight of the oral argument from yesterday, as far as I'm concerned.
No pun intended, oral argument.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying.
Sick.
Oof, that's gross. All right, so this was during the ban on, this is the age requirement for pornography in Texas, right?
Yeah, the case is Free Speech Coalition versus Paxton.
Okay, Free Speech Coalition versus Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas. And this was a question asked by Justice Samuel Alito, a Jersey guy, so it makes sense he would ask this. Take a listen.
You're representing. So one of the parties here is the owner of Pornhub, right?
Yes.
And what percentage of the material on that is not obscene as to children?
Well, Your Honor, if we're talking about the youngest minors, I would agree that most of it is. And that is how we read
it. Is it like the old Playboy magazine? You have essays there by the modern day equivalent of Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley Jr.
Not in that sense, but in the sense you have sexual wellness posts about women recovering from hysterectomies and how they can enjoy sex. That's on there. Discussions of age verification proposals and where the industry lines up as far as what they think should be legislated and what should not.
All right, let's go down to what's the second most popular porn site.
Your Honor, I don't have the.
You don't know. Right. You represent these people.
We represent the industry, Your Honor, the portion of the industry that answers to U.S. laws and jurisdiction.
I mean, I just read the articles on there. You know, it's And they have legal briefs sometimes, you know, amicus briefs. They're really good. Really good stuff, just saying, you know. That's kind of awkward, don't you think? That's a little awkward. Just saying. But you love that. You love that. I love you're giggling like a schoolgirl as usual. It's fantastic.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it's very good. Did you like? There's another cut you like on here, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, as well, right?
I don't know.
No, did we play all the good ones? I think we played.
Yeah,
all the good ones,
I really liked when Scott Bessent destroyed Michael Bennett, but we played that already. Yeah, I think we mowed through pretty much everything.
We did. We got it done. Excellent.
We did a good job today.
We did our. I tell you what, we're doing our job considering that I have a staph infection, heavily medicated, post-operative depression. I think we're getting through this. We're doing a hell of a job. That's what I think.
We still have like an hour to go, but so far,
yeah,
so good.
We have a long way to go till 7 o'clock, but nevertheless, I'm going to do a long form interview with our guests, and I recorded it already earlier today. I mean, it's not live. I don't want to pretend like it is, but I had to schedule this with them. But it's a long form interview I wanted to do, and I like doing those from time to time. You know, we don't do it a lot on this show. There are podcasts out there that are very long form interviews. I mean, Joe Rogan has his guest on for like 2.5 hours. I don't know how I could ever talk to somebody for 2.5 hours, but this is a longer form interview. I spoke to them for close to a half hour about parental rights and what happened to Brittany and what happened to other parents across the country. And it's a very important interview to hear, whether you're a parent or a grandparent or somebody who just believes in liberty and not having the state control your children. So I think you're going to enjoy it very, very much. It was really nice to have that conversation. Now, who just texted me and said this? Now I got to see this now. My buddy Don Povia, who I used to work with in the State House in New Jersey, said that I could be the Gore Vidal of Pornhub. That's true. I could write articles for them. I mean, I'm a published writer for FoxNews.com. I could write for Pornhub. Are they looking for op-eds? I got a good op-ed I'm working on about Senator John Fetterman crossing the aisle. I could work on that.
I mean, depending on how the Supreme Court case goes, maybe, because I think there is like sort of an asterisk. If there's a certain percentage of content on the website that is not pornography, you don't need the age verification. So they could theoretically dance around it if you wrote enough op-eds for Pornhub.
Yeah. So, for example, there's a story in thehill.com today. Fetterman's approach to Trump stirs speculation. I could write an op-ed about how we welcome John Fetterman to the Republican Party. And since it is Pornhub, I could say John Fetter person for those that are looking for, say, trans, the tranny category on the site. If the site has such, I've never been on the site. I don't know what it offers, but you know what I mean? I could do things like that. Compelling case on, you know, why King Philip the Unaccountable's rug head is very disturbing. And if you're a single man on this site, and probably you are because you're sexually frustrated, maybe you don't want to have a piece of carpet on your head. It doesn't help you with the ladies. I could write stuff like that, for example.
They're going to need all the help they can get.
Yeah, it's political and cutting edge at the same time.
You're going to have to crank out a lot of material, though.
That's true. They're gonna need a lot. It may have to be a group effort. You know what I mean? We may have to all write some commentary here, all of us. And now, why was Ben Affleck dealing with the police? This makes me happy. Now, did they arrest him? They should. Did they shoot him on site? No.
Ben is doing well. No, they didn't arrest him or shoot him on site. The FBI was at, I guess, his house to try to determine where those drones were coming from. They were in violation of a mandate due to the wildfires. I think one of them actually collided with a aircraft that was attempting to put out the fires. And Affleck had video footage, potentially video footage, of where the drone came from. So Ben Affleck is not in trouble, to be clear.
But he had a heated conversation with them, according to the article that I have.
Yes.
They should have tased him. At least they should have tased him, don't you think?
He was in his car. He wasn't even doing anything.
It doesn't matter. They should have tased him anyway. They should have been like, ruined Batman, you know. Ben Affleck has heated conversation with cops outside his L.A. home after an FBI visit. The Pearl Harbor star, he ruined Pearl Harbor. Like, Pearl Harbor, the movie was so bad that Pearl Harbor was better than the movie Pearl Harbor. You know, like, the actual Pearl Harbor was not nearly as destructive as the movie was because of Ben Affleck. Was captured in pictures obtained by Page Six, leaning out the window of his BMW. What a D-bag. To exchange a few words with two officers and a police cruiser. He appeared very animated during the discussion as he stuck his arm out from the driver's side and pointed toward the exit at one point. That alone, right there, in my opinion, should have given the officers probable cause to shoot him. Don't you think? I mean, he pointed at them.
He was just sitting in his car.
The cops were present because neighbors had private security roaming the area that kept residents from going to their homes. We were told that Affleck was talking to the police about the situation, but he was eventually able to go to his residence. Wow. Look at that. I guess this is because of the fires that were going on as well in Los Angeles. So, man, he's such a jerk. That's one of those things. Like, I'm against police brutality. I've been pretty much outspoken on that over the years. But if they did beat the crap out of him with a phone book, I'd be like, I understand. I get it. You know what I mean? I totally get it.
Yeah, come on. It gave us Good Will Hunting.
No, he did not give us Good Will Hunting. Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, his buddy, gave us Good Will Hunting.
It was a group effort.
Oh, please.
It's a great movie. Top three all time, I'd say.
No, it's not top
it's
three
a great
all
movie.
Time. Stop it. DeSantis, what's wrong with you? Justin,
see,
help
my
me
top
out
three,
here.
Your top three is disgusting.
No, yeah, my top three is good.
Let's hear it then. So I know Good Will Hunting, but what is it?
All right, my top three, in no particular order, Good Will Hunting, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and The Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay, The Wolf of Wall Street's a great movie. I love it. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is a great movie. Those are not top three movies.
They're my top three.
But they're not top three movie material.
Well, what's on your top three list? Citizen Kane or something boring?
No, God, no, not Citizen Kane.
Godfather Part Two. Okay, I need a top four because that actually needs to be added in there. Part Two, though, not Part One. I think Part Two is the better of the two films.
Godfather Two, Jaws. Huh? Casablanca?
Ugh, please.
What's wrong with you? I will say Wolf of Wall Street's great. I'd never seen it before, and I was in the hospital.
What?
And I'd never seen it. And I decided to watch it because I was in the hospital, and I loved it. It was a great, great movie. I should have watched it years ago because I love Martin Scorsese.
Oh, he's great.
I think Leo's a bit of a D-bag, but he is a good actor. I mean, he's a total D-bag. I mean, who are we kidding? He's the guy that brings his yacht to all the climate change conferences and whines about global warming with all his supermodels on board. You know what I mean? But he is a very good, very talented actor. I'll give him that. But that was a great movie. Jimmy Fallon actually interviewed the real Wolf of Wall Street. What's his name? I forget now his name, but Jordan something
Belfort.
Or other. Right. He interviewed him for a show once. He was on Fox News Saturday Night. So that guy is and Jimmy said he's exactly like he is in the movie. Like, that's really him. But there's a scene in there, you know, where he's drinking non-alcoholic beer. And Jonah Hill's character is like, says to him, he's like, I understand. I'm not a scientist, but it's a beer. It has no alcohol. Like, what, do you got to drink a lot of them to get messed up? You know, very funny scene, which several of my friends have sent me for Dry January because I drink non-alcoholic beer now to try to get through the month. And they send me that scene from Wolf of Wall Street. It's hysterical.
Can I try to get Jordan Belfort on?
Absolutely, go for it.
Yes. All right, cool.
Yeah, please do it. Yeah, and if I'm sure he would do it. I think the guy's desperate. So, but the funniest line in that movie is when Margot Robbie first makes her appearance and they're all talking about how hot she is and the one guy says, "I would let her give me AIDS." I thought that was, I mean, I'm in the hospital bed. I got an IV hooked up to me. I laughed so friggin' hard. The door was shut, and the nurse came in and asked me if everything was okay. That was one of the funniest lines I've ever heard in a movie. She's so hot, I'd let her give me AIDS. Because the movie took place in the 80s. So, like, I mean, that was hysterical. Oh, my God. That's a great flick. Actually, that really is very, very good. Not top three though. Justin, what are your top three?
Top three in no particular order. Godfather Part Two, Pulp Fiction, and it's kind of a tie between Star Wars Episode Five and The Lord of the Rings: The Two Towers.
All right. If you take out Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, that is a respectable list.
His list is way worse than mine.
No. Those are all great movies. Pulp Fiction's outstanding. It's a great movie. One of my favorites of all time. Godfather Part Two and Empire Strikes Back is a fantastic movie.
By the way, Rich, I have to ask you, how'd you like Conclave?
Horrible. And by the way, you owe me $10. You know what? Now I'm angry again. You owe me... Screw you, DeSantis. I'm already in the hospital in pain. You recommend that stupid movie. I pay $10 for it. You owe me $10.
That was a good movie. It's going to win Best Picture.
I'm going to have Greg take it out of your pay. You owe me $10.
That
was one of the dumbest movies I've ever seen. It was long, boring, drawn out, and this stupid twist at the end was so idiotic.
It was a great twist.
And I hated you even more, because I halfway through said this movie's terrible, and you said stick with it to the end because there's a twist. So I kept watching, and then at the end I hated you even more because of that. It was so bad.
You didn't like the Pope twist? That was a good twist.
I didn't like anything about it. It was a horrible... Do not watch Conclave. Do not watch that movie. It proves you are an elitist, Harvard elitist, out-of-touch, brioche bun-eating snob, but you like that movie. You and all the critics liked it.
I thought it was really good. I thought the Pope twist at the end was great. Stanley Tucci's excellent in it. John Lithgow.
Oh, did you see it, Justin?
No. But
don't. Don't. Nobody see it. Don't watch this friggin' movie, please.
Before we go to break, I heard you mention Tulsa King earlier. What'd you think of that?
I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it.
There we go. That's a good recommendation.
Yeah. It was, again, it was a Susie Cool recommendation. Solid. Now I'm going to do Lioness, which is another Taylor Sheridan movie. I want to see that. So, our show. That looks really, really good. All right, I take a quick break. We'll come back. The interview with Parents USA and Brittany Patterson. You're definitely going to want to hear this. Great stuff. Dr. Mike Venaria, the sponsor of this hour. Great guy, great friend. The master of dental implants. He's going to give you the smile of your dreams. So get a great smile for 2025 by going to VenariaDental.com. Coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, I'm very, very excited for this interview, and it's been a couple weeks in the making, but we made it happen. And I got to tell you, everybody I know is talking about this story. I had moms and dads in my neighborhood, my good friends, send me the story, and they said, you should interview this mom. And I said, I want to. I've been trying. She's a big deal, though, because the story's gone national. It's gone viral. And her attorney's here, too. And, of course, I'm talking about Brittany Patterson, who's the mom who was arrested for letting her son be outside. It's ridiculous. And I would be in jail, too, because this is just insane. We do it all the time. Her attorney, David DeLugas, a Greek god, and he's here with us now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Welcome to you both. I appreciate it very, very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Rich. Hey, let me correct something, because the language matters. She didn't let him go outside. She had him inside their family home. On his own volition, he went into town. Why does that matter? If you're going to get criminally charged with something, then you need to have done something or failed to do something that you're legally obligated to do. So I just want to point out, a lot of the media has written it as, she allowed him to walk into town. There you go.
Okay.
This is
good, and it's important. So what I'd like to do is tell the story of exactly what happened. And I'll offer it to you, Brittany, to tell it. David, if you want to tell it. Give us the cold, hard facts, just the facts, ma'am. Let's do it.
Okay. So the facts are, I have four kids. Two of them homeschool. Two of them go to public school. The way our daily life usually works is my two kids at homeschool. They're both plenty old enough to stay home for a while by themselves. So if I have to go somewhere, they have the option to come with me, or they have the option to stay at home. Whichever they pick doesn't really, matter to me. So on this particular day, one of the kids had decided to come with me. I thought Soren was going to go with me. And then when I went back into the house to see if he was coming, I didn't see him. So I just left. I had just seen him a couple minutes before, figured he decided he didn't want to go. And so me and my other child left to go take my other son to a doctor's appointment. And while I was gone, Soren decided to walk to the store. Not a big deal, not against the law, you know, nothing wrong with that. And while he was walking to the store, a lady saw him, I guess, and thought that that was not something he should be doing. And so she kind of watched him for a little while. Then she asked him to approach her vehicle, asked him if he was okay, asked him if he needed help, both of which he said he was fine and he did not need help. And then I guess he maybe realized he wasn't supposed to talk to strangers or something. Anyway, he got a feeling, walked away from her, and then she called the police. So, police came, you know, called me. Of course, I didn't know he was in Mineral Bluff, and I told them that. They asked me that. And they, Soren actually later told me that he asked if he could walk back home, and they told him no. So they put him in the police car, brought him back to our house. And this was before I got back home from the appointment. There was about a 20-minute time difference from when they dropped him off and I got back. Then when I got home later, of course, you know, I had a little conversation with Soren, you know, make sure you let me know where you're going. Because I do like to keep tabs on my kids, you know, just send me a text or give me a call. Hey, I'm going to walk to the store. I'm going to go meet with my friend, you know, whatever it is. So we had a conversation about that, went about our day. My older son still had practice. I still had some work to get done. And it was about 5 hours later that the police showed up and arrested me, took me to jail and that whole thing. So that's the condensed version of what happened.
First of all, how far away from the house was he when he was put in the police car?
He was in downtown Mineral Bluff, so he was about, I think we calculated it was like 0.9 miles, so it was just a little bit less than a mile.
Okay. When the police showed up at your house, what did they, like ring the bell and like say, hey, it's like, how did that happen? How did that go down?
So my office door, I have a home office, is right before you get to my front door, and it's a glass, like clear glass door. So when they were walking up to the front door, they could see that I was sitting here at my desk. So instead of going and ringing the doorbell, they knocked on the office door. I was on the phone with some clients. I looked up and I could see that police officers were there, but of course I didn't think I was getting arrested. I had no idea why they were here. So I got up, you know, I opened the door. I just kind of put my finger up like this, at, you know, asking them to give me a moment to end my phone call so that I could talk to them. And I don't know, they didn't like that, I guess, because they immediately said, no, not in a minute, now. Like, you know, I need you to come outside now. So, and Soren was sitting here right next to me. He, you know, witnessed the whole thing. And they asked me to come outside, told me to turn around and put my hands behind my back. They didn't tell me I was under arrest, what I was under arrest for, didn't read me my rights. I had to ask all of that. And so that was kind of how that happened, as far as the actual them approaching my house and stuff. So,
and when did they tell you that you were under arrest?
I had to ask. So if you watch the body cam, but I'll just lay it out for you real quick. I stepped outside. I said, how can I help you? They said, turn around and put your hands behind your back. And I said, why? They said, you're under arrest. I said, what for? The female officer said reckless endangerment, which I didn't know at the time, but I've since learned through David that that's not an actual charge that exists. She could have misspoken, but either way, that was not accurate. And so I was going to ask how I recklessly endangered anyone, and the male officer wouldn't let me finish, told me, basically, you know, grabbed me, turned me around, and said they didn't have to answer my questions. So,
okay.
Go ahead, David.
I was going to just throw in that Britt had the sense to say, last time I checked, it's not illegal for a kid to walk into town or walk to the store. And the deputy sheriff responded immediately, it is when they're 10, which I'll tell you, as a lawyer in Georgia, it's not illegal. There is no law that says if you're under a certain age, you're not allowed to walk about in our free country.
David DeLugas is with Parents USA, and we're going to get into that in just a second. And it's an incredibly important organization and something that we all should get behind and support, and we're going to talk about that. And Brittany Patterson, of course, is the mom, and she joins us now here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on our YouTube stream. So first of all, I got to say this, and I just need to blanket say this. My son is 10. He goes to the park near our house all the time. All of his buddies meet up there, too. They all have bikes or electric scooters. They all meet up. And so when my friends heard this story, they said, we would all be in jail if this were to be allowed to stand here. This is so insane. Yeah. It really is. And, you know, our son always asks for permission to go out, and we give it to him. And you know, they would have to arrest so many parents in my town if they were to do this. And it's just, it's infuriating. When I heard about this story, I said, this can't happen in America. So, David, let me ask you, Parents USA, tell us about the organization.
Gladly, Rich, and thanks for bringing that up. I'm a parent as well. I'm an attorney. I figure I have these skills. You know, I feel like Liam Neeson in that movie. You know, I have a special set of skills, and I wanted to apply
them in a
way. By the
way, which Liam Neeson movie? Because he plays the same character in every movie, so you got to kind of narrow that down.
I think it was the first Taken, although I think he repeats that line regularly, and it's become something that we can all identify with. Each of us has a particular talent or skill, and if we apply it in a certain way, and do it with passion and deliberate action, maybe we can do some good in the world. And that's what I decided, because what I noticed is a creep of government infringing, micromanaging parents all the time. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't mind people giving advice, because we've all heard the story of the in-laws who suggest how you should parent your child, or, oh, don't let my grandchild do this or that, or a neighbor. But you can always turn to that person and smile and give them the, oh, thank you for your thought, while thinking to yourself, shut up, I'm going to do whatever. This is between the mom and me, or between the dad and me and the child. You know, we'll listen to you because we're being civil and polite. But when somebody with a gun, a badge, dressed up in as though they're about to go into a firefight in Iraq, shows up at your door, has handcuffs, an arrest warrant because judges will sign them, you need probably a little help in pushing back. So Parents USA is designed not just for the situation Britt was in, but situations around the country where courts, legislatures have just decided, well, this is what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, and parents have to succumb to that. So it's a banding together of parents. We don't have an agenda. We're not trying to suggest how you should parent. In fact, one of the ways I describe it often is, we would love for you to be a wonderful, ideal, fantastic parent. But in our country, under the U.S. Supreme Court's decisions, as long as you're an adequate parent, you're a fit parent, government's supposed to back off. So this organization was founded in 2013. It's a 501c3. We survive on the kindness and donations of parents around the country. And we would like to be as big and powerful as, say, AARP is for older Americans. And they have 33 million older Americans as members. That's why they're strong and powerful, and they get what they want out of Congress and state legislature. So, hey, parents, not for my benefit, because we're going to pass the torch to somebody else as I retire one day. But the point is, we need to band together and push back whenever and however we can. And if you give me another second, Rich, I want to let people know, this is not an isolated situation, what happened to Britt. Back in 2015 in Silver Springs, Maryland, not a small town, right outside of D.C., yep, a married couple of the Meative parents drove their child, coincidentally, children, a boy and a girl, brother, sister, to a park 1 mile from their home, said, have fun, come home before dark, make sure you stay on the sidewalk. And while walking home, a police officer picked him up. Thankfully, it was a real legitimate police officer, not somebody posing as one, but they got in the back of the patrol car, were driven back to the parents' house. The parents were not arrested, but the parents' names were given to CPS, and they endured a CPS investigation, a home study, They went to the schools, interviewed the kids at school out of sight of the parents, asking the typical CPS questions. Does anybody beat you? Do you get enough to eat? All because they were on the sidewalk walking home on a Sunday afternoon. It happened to a mom in Waco, Texas a few years ago, Heather Wallace. She and her husband are home, and the child is walking on the sidewalk home from school, and the deputy didn't even bother to go get an arrest warrant. Arrested her right then and there, and the body cam shows him saying, I wouldn't let my child walk home on the sidewalk from school. He doesn't use all those words, but that's how he found this child walking in the subdivision on the sidewalk coming home from school. And she got arrested and charged with child endangerment under Texas law. Did not know about Parents USA, ended up doing a plea deal because she and her husband didn't have the money to pay an attorney to defend them and go to trial, and they were told by an attorney, you're probably going to lose anyway. So we really need to shut this down on a national level. One reason Britt is outspoken about this, thankfully, because she has the grit and determination to say, it shouldn't happen to me and it shouldn't happen to other parents, so let's spread the word. And I actually have a bill drafted in front of the Georgia legislature, hopefully, that'll start making people ask three questions, not just the bystander, because we're never going to stop bystanders from being sorry for all the Karens in the world.
I was going to say a Karen. Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. I mean, not to interrupt you, David, but that's exactly it. When I first heard this, I said, what's with people that they would just, you know, butt in like this? I mean, your son was not in danger. He wasn't hurt. He wasn't bleeding. He wasn't laying on the curb. I mean, he was fine. So it's like, you know, this person just comes along and just butts in and creates all kinds of problems. And yet, I apologize. I've got a lot of good friends in the Zioli Army named Karen. In fact, one of them, Karen Thomas, is listening right now, delivering the mail. So, apologies to Karen, but these friggin' Karens, man.
Oh, wait. It's not the Karens. Come on. People care, and they're going to call. How about the 911 operator asking what you just said? Hey, thanks for your call, but why are you calling? Is the kid hurt? Is he looking distressed? Is he about to get hit by a piano falling from a construction site or, you know, something, or a swimming pool, or is something about to happen? If the answer is no, then you have the police officer show up and go, yeah, not hurt, not in distress, no imminent risk of danger. We're not doing anything. Move on.
Brittany, let me ask you, where does everything stand now? So you go to jail, you get arrested, you go into the jailhouse, and then what happens then? Do you get your phone call? Like, I mean, you're a mom of four, you're an upstanding citizen in the community. Obviously, you know, looking at you, you're not like a crazy person. You don't have like needle marks all over you. So I mean, like, what happens when they bring you to the jail?
So when they brought me to the jail, they just kept me in the booking room. I never made it to a jail cell or anything, but they did, you know, make me strip down, change into jail clothes, fingerprint, mugshot, the whole deal, you know, asked me 1,000 questions that they put into the computer. But I was able to make bail and get out fairly quickly. It was roughly an hour and a half. It felt like much longer than that when you're sitting there, you know, handcuffed and wondering what's going to happen. But ultimately, I was able to bail myself out that evening and get back home with my family. So thank goodness I didn't have to spend the night. I was worried about that. I didn't want to have to do that. But
yeah, I'm sure.
Hey, Rich, one of the things that concerns me, and because I'm assuming you're friends with children and you, if you happen to get arrested, as wrong as it would be, you have the capacity, as Britt did, to get out of jail within a few hours, right? You can post bond.
Yeah.
You can pay it, whatever it is. But how about the person that's poor, that's barely getting by? They have a job and they get arrested. They can't post bond. They ended up in jail for a day or two or three or longer They lose all the income, and they were going paycheck to paycheck as it was. Now we have food insecurity. They can't feed their family. Mm-hmm. Maybe they lose their job because they don't show up for 3 or 4 days. And the employer's like, hey, I got to fire Susie because she didn't show up. And now you're out of a job. And guess what? You get evicted. So a whole cavalcade of things happen, not just because Karen made the phone call, but because law enforcement and CPS don't have the boundaries of saying, hang on, nobody was hurt, nobody's in distress, there's no imminent danger to the child. Just because a kid's unaccompanied by an adult doesn't should not result in any of what happened to Britt. Let me note this, too, by the way. Let's see how your listeners can put this together. This was October 30th, 2024.
Mm-hmm. Right now, before
Halloween. Everybody ask yourself, what's the next day?
Yep. Yeah.
Halloween. We have no reports anywhere in the country where parents were arrested because a child was out and about Halloween evening in the dark, in costume, masks on, unaccompanied by a parent or other adult, right? So, come on.
That's a great point, David. David DeLugas is the head of Parents USA. It's an incredible organization fighting for parental rights, and it's really, really important. And we're going to do everything we can to support the organization and help them grow and help them flourish. Brittany Patterson is the mom who got arrested because her son went outside. It's so ridiculous. Britt, let me ask you, where do things stand now? And how did the community react to this, by the way? I mean, I'm assuming your mom, some of your kids are in school, some of the kids are homeschooled, but, you know, you got friends in the community and everything. Like, what was the reaction of other parents when this happened to you?
It's been 99% positive. The majority of them are furious, or, you know, were. I mean, things have died down a little bit, but and like a lot of your friends, a lot of my friends were calling me and saying, oh my gosh, I leave my 10-year-old home alone all the time. Like, you know, what if he decides to go ride his dirt bike? Or what if they decide to make some popcorn and the house catches it? You know, like, there's all these things that could happen when a child's home alone. And they're like, what, you know, could we go to jail for that? So same kind of sentiment that your friends, you know, with his little bicycle friends, their parents are thinking. And it's 100% true. You know, I was like you. I didn't realize that this happened and how frequently it happens around the country as a whole. So now I do. And that's why I continue to do this, because it's ridiculous and it's infuriating. But as far as community support, you know, of course, there's been, you know, some folks that disagree, mostly folks that are associated with the sheriff's department or with the county in some way. And because they're the ones that have been having to field all these phone calls and emails and stuff from people that are, you know, upset and want to make their voices heard. But as far as, you know, people I know, it's been overwhelmingly positive. So that's been a good thing.
Where does the case stand now, Britt?
It's just in limbo. You know, David can tell you, too. I have been charged. I did go to jail. But right now there's been no kind of offer or court date or anything like that. So we're just kind of in a waiting, holding pattern until the DA decides what they want to do.
And David, what would the penalty be here if say there was a trial and Britt was found guilty of this ridiculous charge? What would be the penalty in Georgia?
The particular statute provides up to 1 year in jail and up to a $1,000 fine. And as Britt described it, it's totally in the hands of the district attorney's office, which, as everybody around the country should know, or if you watch enough TV, you probably know, it's whenever they decide they're going to do something or not do something. And if they just don't do something, this could just hang over Britt's head for a couple of years. The statute of limitations will eventually run out if they take no action. If they take action, then I've already filed paperwork with the clerk's office indicating I am her attorney of record. So that has prompted a phone call from the assistant district attorney, but there was no offer made. And incidentally, if there's an offer made, the problem with plea deals, and I'm going to give a shout out to a constitutional law attorney that used to be with the Institute for Justice, Cato Institute, Clark Neely. He used the coined the phrase plea coercion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's we'll dismiss this or bump it down to some other charge if you agree to plead guilty to this, or you agree to probation, pay a fine, go to a parenting class. I had another case similar to this one where the plea offer that eventually was made included the parent had to go to parenting classes.
Yeah.
And as if the parent needed parenting classes. It's totally absurd, but it's literally covering themselves. They want that deal so that any action back against them for violating the constitutional rights can't go forward. It's similar to many people may know that Britt was presented with by the Department of Family and Children Services in Georgia, CPS in other states, with a so-called safety plan. Oh, if only she would sign the safety plan. The problem is, and maybe Britt can describe it, her son wasn't unsafe to begin with, so it's a misnomer. And secondly, the safety plan only had that she or somebody else designated by her who was an adult would keep track of Soren's whereabouts at all time and would download to his phone, assuming every parent would want their child to have a phone or device, a tracking app to keep track of him, which I keep saying over and over again. Just because you know where your child doesn't make them more safe. You just know where they are.
And, you know, and for a lot of people, they don't have the ability to fight this, pay an attorney, and they wind up copping to a plea. But that is just wrong. And, you know, and I have a real problem with that from a constitutional perspective as well. The other organization, I know you guys have been in touch with Lenore Skenazy and Free Range Kids, which is, you know, the whole free range movement. So Lenore's been on my show a bunch of times over the years talking about all these incidents. I mean, there's even been parents who've been arrested for letting their kids play in their own friggin' backyard, which is just, you know, mind-boggling. Yeah. Is this district attorney, by the way, is he an elected official?
Yes.
I mean, why are we not flooding his office with phone calls and emails and making this and just demanding that this guy drop these charges and drop them and make a big stink about dropping these charges? I mean, it seems to me like
I think initially there was a lot of that, just from the feedback I was hearing from folks that I know in the community, is that there was a lot of calls. Most of the calls, I think, were going to the sheriff's office because I heard the sheriff's office was really getting inundated with phone calls. And there's only one girl that works there that answers the phone. So, you know, so of course I'm friends with her and her husband. I know them very well. So I heard about that. I don't know how much calling the DA was getting. But I think there was definitely some of that going on. It's just, you know, at this point, it's kind of died down. You know how it is. It doesn't last forever.
Well, we got to make sure it doesn't go away. Yes, David.
I would say, Rich, just from a lawyer point of view, I don't encourage that because you never really know how the district attorney's office or the sheriff's office. First of all, sheriff's office has nothing to do with the case anymore. Mm-hmm. They arrested her. The deputy got the arrest warrant that a judge signed off on, and the district attorney's office now has control of it. But calling or threatening or saying you're going to not get reelected, that could also backfire because, unfortunately, human beings being who we are, we sometimes have the attitude of you can't tell me what to do.
Right.
And I'm the one with the power. So I certainly would not encourage and Britt has not had anybody do it on her behalf because, again, it can backfire. It is what it is. We'll deal with it. But both legally and factually, she did nothing that is a crime. She did nothing that's even that could be criticized as a parent. But there are parents who would say, well, gee, I wouldn't let my child walk that far away from home. And maybe I should let Britt say it. That's fine.
Sure.
You parent your child as you want, and let me parent my child as I want. And from the legal point of view, the Supreme Court says parents have a fundamental, that's the biggest fundamental, biggest constitutional right to take care of their own children, to make decisions for their own children. So you want to overprotect or underprotect, and if you want to be the free-range parent or you want to be the bubble wrap parent. That's your choice. That's our point of view. By the way, Lenore has really good information through her organization. It's letgrow.org. You may know that. And ours is parentsusa.org. We suggest parents parent however they want. That's what the Supreme Court says. Let Grow is saying, hey, it's better for kids if you give them some responsibility, give them some freedom, give them outdoor access, let them go do things on their own, play on their own without adult supervision. And I think that's right. But again, our organization's not here to offer parenting advice.
Yeah.
We're here to...
No, I get it. I understand that. And you're also advocating for legislation and for changes to the law, which I think is really important, David. The 3 points that you outlined are incredibly important. I know we're kind of running out of time, but I just want to say, first of all, Brittany, I truly admire your courage. I know that you've been speaking out on this. Parents everywhere are looking to you. So you know, and they're hoping that this case is decided in your favor the right way, because this is the kind of thing that scares us as parents. It really does. And we've been through a lot as parents with the government intimidating us and how to raise our kids. And we've had enough is enough. I personally think it affected the outcome of the last election. I'm not asking you to weigh in on that since, you know, you're a nonpartisan group. But I personally think it had a big impact on that. So I want to say thank you for your courage, Brittany. I really do.
Thank you. And that's why it's even more important for us to have this kind of legislation, because like David has said, people are going to call. People are going to have opinions. People are going to be snitches is a term for my generation. But, you know, but
Gen X, baby.
That's never going to stop, you know, and maybe we don't necessarily want it to, because maybe there may be times when somebody does need help or does need something. But it's up to law enforcement to be able to have specific protocols to follow that are very clearly defined, and so that they're not open to any personal opinion or speculation or anything like that. And so having legislation like what David's talking about, where they have to ask specific questions, yes or no, you know, very simple, specific questions, that's would be a really good protective layer for us as parents, whether you allow your children to have freedom or not. You know, I mean, like you said, even if they're just playing in their front yard.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hey, Rich.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Do you have another minute? One of the things that Brits being arrested, of course, and other parents wondering about them being arrested. But from the point of view of Soren and other kids who are confronted by a law enforcement officer, and as I mentioned earlier, pretty much every police or deputy sheriff, they're geared out, right? They got the vest on. They have the audio equipment right here. They have a gun, 4 or 5 magazines, taser. They're dressed like they're going into war, and they're bigger people than a kid. And if a kid is looking up at an officer who's basically saying, you've done something wrong, even though they're saying, hey, let me help you out. Really? Why? What am I doing wrong? And if this is Soren, who's white boy in North Georgia, what about in urban Philadelphia? It's a little black boy who's confronted by a police officer for no reason other than the boy has no adult lingering nearby supervising. I mean, goodness gracious, we're opening up a can of worms. And the long-term impact on kids, law enforcement are supposed to be there to protect and serve.
Correct.
Not to use their power and their discretion in ways that have these permanent impact on children and their parents, of course. But Soren was put in the back of a car and driven home.
No, I agree. And the cops in Philly, who are some of the finest cops in the country, tell me all the time, you know, they want kids to go to the cops for help. They want those strong relationships. So this is counter to all of that. David, in 30 seconds, give me the 3 questions that need to be asked that you're pushing for in your legislation.
One, does the child appear to be hurt? Then you know whether to send an EMT, right? 2, does the child appear to be in distress? They're crying. They're in the fetal position. They're hiding. They're looking about furtively. And 3rd is there an imminent risk of harm from something that's identifiable, not something that can happen. As Lenore Skenazy is quoted as saying, and she did research, you would have to leave your child unattended outdoors for 750,000 years for that child likely to be abducted. Now, that doesn't comport with all of us parents' fears about abduction of a child by a stranger, but that's the actual stat. Your child's going to get hit by lightning or be in a car wreck before they'll ever be abducted, and yet we don't leave our kids at home and say, no, you can't go to the store. No, you can't ride in a car with me, and we don't arrest parents. Anyway, those are the three questions. Imminent risk of harm from an identifiable source. Are they hurt? Are they in distress?
David DeLugas, parentsusa.org. Go there, support them, support their great work. Brittany Patterson, thank you for your courage, my friend. Let's continue to have this conversation. I want to have you back, both back on the show. Keep me posted. Best of luck, and thank you so much for being in this fight for us.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.